Hello, everybody. Good to see you all. Don't know how many of us will be today since we're meeting on a Monday instead of a Tuesday. But I'm glad already a number of you are here. Okay. All right. So today we're going to continue our module on visioning and strategizing. We're going to look at a couple more visioning pieces, and then we're going to move into what I like to call the energetics of new things. We'll talk about that a bit. Before we do, a couple of logistics pieces that I wanted to share. So, first of all, I can't remember if I shared this with you, but just in case I haven't, we added to the member center for Sacred Depths a tab where I've put some extra. We did this a couple of weeks ago. I've put some extra recorded coaching demos in there. So, opportunities just to observe more coaching. It's demos where I coach someone for a little bit and then break down the coaching. I'm going to add some recorded practicums in there as well, maybe a couple of questioning practicums, because I know questioning is one of, and by the way, all of the foundational skills that we're learning, energetics, listening, creating awareness, questioning, visioning and strategizing, we're not done with any of them when we learn Befriend Your Fear. We're coming back to all of those skills through that lens. When we look at rewiring negative thought patterns, same thing. Basically, like these foundational skills that we've isolated in each of the modules, we're coming back around to all of them as we learn the more advanced material in the program. Same way that we came back to listening. And questioning skills in visioning, right? In order to be able to vision. Okay, so you've got those demos in there. You don't have to watch them or listen to them, but they're there if you want more. I know for some of you, like the bare minimum is just enough with your busy lives. And then others of you, you're like, I want more. I want, more information. I want more opportunity. So we have those in there for you. I think last week an email reminder went out about certification. As I've said before, it's not for everybody. But if you've been thinking about it, really want and haven't stepped in yet to become certified, I want to invite you to think about it. It's an incredible, here's what I think the value of it is for the right person. If you want, number one, just a little bit of a tighter container of accountability around doing all the homework, all of the practice, taking the tests, etc., certification is going to give you that tighter container of accountability. If you are wanting feedback on your coaching skills because you submit two different recordings, one halfway through the program and one at the end. If you're someone who like that's really valuable for you to get those reflections, then that's a great reason to do certification. And if you're wanting to get coached, if you're wanting a couple of coaching sessions by a sacred from a Sacred Depths coach or with a Sacred Depths coach, I would say that's another reason to get certified. You get, I think it's four sessions included with certification. So you have, I think, another couple of weeks if you want to opt in for certification. And if you have any questions at all, please feel free to reach out. Vlada, I was talking about certification. We're not into visioning just yet. Okay, couple other logistics pieces. The first session of small cohorts is all, I can't believe it, but it's almost over. Oh, visioning demo. I thought you said visioning demons. I'm like, what visioning demons? I mean, there are visioning demons for sure. Nell, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, there should be two visioning demos. Those are going to be with your regular training call recordings in the members center. Oh, you haven't been able to find them? Let me double check. They should have been there already this week, but later today, I'll just check in with the team. They should be there. Okay. Cohort. The next set of small group cohorts is starting. I don't have the exact date, but in the next week or two, we'll be sending out all of the dates for the next set of small cohorts. If you want to opt in, let us know. We would love to have you. Those small cohort groups are just a great way to connect with more folks in the program, to integrate everything that we're learning, to go deeper with the different pieces. And you'll have opportunity, if you have done the cohorts, this first part, you'll have opportunity also to opt in again or opt out. Angela, we can't do small cohort groups on Sundays, but I believe there is a Jolly, who's doing it. Alta and Nicole, yeah, Jolly Alta and Nicole have got a small cohort going on Sundays that you could join, possibly. So I'll let you get in touch with them. Okay, the last housekeeping piece that I wanted to mention is some of you might remember when you registered, when I was kind of launching our cycle of Sacred Depths, one of the things I said at some point when some of you registered, I think I may have said this in an email or I may have said this at Art of Client Transformation, is that I was 99% sure that our cohort was going to be the only cohort of Sacred Depths in 2022. And I take my integrity, as you know, very, very, very seriously. In the winter, my working plan was for Sacred Depths to start in February, for us not to do another one until February 2023. And this summer, I was going to be offering a little bit of a different kind of program. Well, as it turns out, that other program that I was going to offer this summer just isn't fully cooked. I thought it was going to be and that I was going to be ready to go with it, but I'm not. And so, because of that, I am going to offer Sacred Depths again this summer. And it just felt important to share that with all of you again, because I take my integrity very, very seriously. If I say something, I do it. I had said 99%, and it just so happens this turned out that it was one of those times where I just, quite honestly, did not get my act together. And so we are going to be offering it this summer. And if you know anybody that would like to join, let us know. Okay. So, all that being said, let's jump in. I'd love to hear what's been resonating for you around visioning, either for yourself or in your practice sessions, if you've brought it to your practice sessions, or with clients. What have you been seeing and noticing? What's been resonating for you, or what would you like to celebrate? Ayana.
Hey, I'm gonna celebrate a visioning coming together. Feel shy, but I had this vision of doing a ritual around a fire where I'd be, like half naked or mostly naked and like drumming and my partner using the didge and me throwing. I've done fire rituals before, but I felt it more intensely of like letting go of some very specific things. And I had in the vision, I saw there was six other friends that I was five other friends I wanted to invite, but I was feeling so unwell physically that I couldn't even like type an email or call them. And I thought, well, there's nothing I can do to make this happen. And I kept raining and all this stuff. Anyway, but I had the vision and I had it clearly in my mind. And through a whole bunch of just following breadcrumbs that just kind of basically came right to me, that group of friends, the exact group, none of them were invited. I didn't share this with anybody except my partner. We all did it last night and it just kind of came together and it was way better than I could have imagined because everybody like totally joined in and we just had this each person got to have this epically transformational experience. And it just started with having the vision and then the pieces just all came without me having to do anything other than have the vision and then show up, and be willing to be brave. Yeah, it was incredible.
I love that. I'm so happy to hear it. I can feel just from your energy and the expression on your face how powerful it was. And while it isn't always true that if we just lean into our visions, they come to fruition,
No, I know.
sometimes they do. But and that energy is so important, which we're going to be talking about a bit more today too. So I love it, and I love the crown just kind of radiating all that energy out.
Yeah,
Thanks for sharing.
as I was saying, I was thinking, I know that it's not always that way that you just have a vision that just comes knocking on your door, but I want to share that
Yes.
it wasn't quite exactly that, but close. So
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Beautiful manifestation. AJ.
hi, I just had my partner coaching session this morning. Wendy and I meet every Monday morning, and it's been amazing. But today, I received coaching on visioning. And it was really great. It was beautiful and sparked a lot of things. I came with some inspiration and left with some more clarity. But specifically the piece that I wanted to say that Wendy set up so beautifully is that when we usually coach, we start coming to it and say, we've got about 20 minutes together. What is it that you'd like to receive, or something on those terms? And today it came out as, we've got about 40 minutes together. I want to welcome you to this coaching relationship and thank you for stepping into this. I'm excited to see what we can create together in our time. And what that did for me by the end of the session, it was like, trying to put some action steps or takeaways, and I was like, I'm not ready for that. It was so open on like a longer term vision. That then Wendy gave me some journaling prompts and ideas to take forward. And it felt really welcome to just sit with where I got to today.
Yes.
And know that it's a larger process.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing this forward. It's such an important point. Yes, in coaching, like we're always thinking about, okay, what are the action steps? And we want to attach strategizing to visioning, not necessarily in one session. But that being said, oftentimes when we've worked with a client to create a big vision or a stretchy vision, the ego is going to want to say, okay, now how? Like, how do we do this? But actually, the very next step is leaning into the vision, not the how. Not the what am I going to do next? That can be like the next session, maybe you sort or two after, right? Like, you okay, so what's the next goal now based on this? Now that we have this guidepost, like, okay, we're in New York, we figured out you want to go to Portland, what's the first step? Maybe we're just gonna like go to New Jersey, right? Like, that's the next place, right? I say that being in New Jersey, and I feel like I can say that, right? But even before that, it's like, okay, now embody the vision, lean into the vision, let it take root. I love following the wheel of the year and lessons from nature. And in the wheel of the year, February 1st, in between winter solstice and spring equinox, is Groundhog's Day, but it's also called by other names, but it's a quickening. And I always think of the quickening as like the seed is there, and then it has to take root before the activity of the spring. There's like a quick, a deepening in that wants to happen.
That's so amazing. You said that.
Yeah, so what are you hearing in all of this that feels important for you?
I mean, I want to say, Wendy actually said, it sounds like you're planting. And what I felt from the beginning, we did a body thing, and I felt grounding, where I usually feel my like ideas and inspiration like this. I felt just really seated and supported.
I love that. Beautiful. I feel like there are a couple of things that you said in your share, AJ, that would make really good testimonials for Wendy when she's ready. I walked in with inspiration and walked out with clarity. Nice work all around.
Totally. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Amy.
Hi. Well, I felt really inspired this week to get clear on to what do I even do? What I've been planning this for so long because I do so many things. And so I made this thing for myself that it's not done yet, but it has all the different parts of my life that are really important. And then all the parts that are parts of those parts, just so I can get clear on like, what are these projects and what am I doing? And eventually I want to prioritize, and I need a coach for that. But I just felt so excited to kind of make something and create something.
I love it. I love that you had that inspiration. And at our very end, when we get to ritual, you know, one of the things that I'll say about ritual is that it is the act of making the intangible tangible. So making ideas, visions, desires, fears, beliefs inside of us tangible as a signal to the psyche of where we're ready to go next. And it feels like you did that. Beautiful. Can't wait to see where that goes. Issa.
Hey everyone. Hey Joanna. I missed last week's call, but I just watched the replay before I hopped on to this call. And Oh my gosh, I so regret that I couldn't make it last week because that call, I mean, they're all amazing, but it really, well, they all like hit me like but vi the visioning portion of it, it really, I felt like I was just like boom, 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 boom. So much about, as a baby coach, I've been approaching sacred depths as like, okay, gathering all the tools so I can become the best coach I can possibly be. But I also see it, I also have been approaching it as a client in the sense that, I've been struggling with building a business for 14 years. And so much of that, there's always been like, oh, Issa's got squirrely mind. I got this going on. I got this going on. But the part where you said that most people build, they build goals, but they don't have a vision. And that really got me because that's what I've been doing for a long time is, I'm somebody that doesn't really, well, let me reframe. I was gonna say I'm someone that doesn't, that's not very good at envisioning, but really I just haven't been trained, conditioned, given permission to think long term because for most of my life it's been, think on the fly and be in survival mode. So I always had to put out fires, which is really sad to think about it. But I'm so grateful that you said that because I can bring that to my work as a coach, but also can bring that to my work for me and being like, okay, I can give myself permission to envision. And it doesn't have to be a 20-year vision. It can be a 20-day vision because sometimes that's all I know I have is 20 days that are stable and level and solid. So, but thank you for that call. Thank you for everyone for your sharing. And yeah, that's what I've been taking away for the last like hour or so since watching the replay.
So glad that came through. I got chills when you were speaking, and maybe not for right now, but I just want to say I got this vision of you putting aside a half day or a full day retreat for yourself with like all the visioning questions and just giving yourself some space and permission to just be with your visioning self.
Thank you for recommending that. I'm going to do it.
Yay, good. I'm so happy. Wendy.
Hello. I finally decided to raise my hand, which is something that I have been, my heart is pounding right now. But I just want to say how grateful I am for this class, for Joanna and all the people that I've met in it through the small group cohort and my coaching partner, who AJ really, we learned so much with one another. And the visioning, it was just a great exercise that we both got so much out of it. And I just really wanted to finally come here. Come on and let everybody hear my voice. So that's basically it.
I'm so glad that you did. My heart did a little flutter when I saw you raise your hand, but I didn't want to point it out. So I'm glad. I'm so happy that you did and that we can all hear your actual voice. And tell me if this lands for you. I'm taking it as evolution that you're willing to be seen.
Yes, this is a very big step for me, and thank you very much for yes.
Thank you. It's so good to see you and hear your voice. So, Vlada asked in the chat, how would you describe leaning into the vision? Such a good question. I said that a few times, but I didn't actually say how to lean into the vision. So it can look a lot of different ways. When I say lean into the vision, again, what I mean is give your client or for yourself the space to let it take root in the way I was describing before, that quickening. So for one client, always coach the what based on the who. For one client, it can be like, okay, now we've created this vision. Take it into your body, right? So allow, and you might read the vision back to them and ask them to just receive it, receive the vision, take it in. For another client, it might be, okay, now just every day for the next week or two, or maybe every day is too much, but a couple times over the next week or two, just journal about the vision. You don't have to add more details in the journaling, but journal about why you're so excited about this, why this is aligned. Ask your vision, what more do you want to know about this vision or about you and the vision, right? So just creating that space to lean in more deeply and really be with it. So it's not just like these words that were said, but something that becomes more embodied. AJ.
I say a little something else. The other piece of that for me, the leaning in, and the space to move, to keep it open, is the part of the squirrel mind. And sometimes an idea pops up that's not actually it. And like, I came to something, I wrote something down, it felt important, and then I was like, no, wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
So, but still that thing that you wrote down in that visioning process is important
yes.
because it'll spark the next thing, or it lets you know, like, no, this is actually a no. Knowing a no helps you see a yes
Absolutely.
sometimes, right? So yeah, so also I love what you're saying, like giving it time to marinate and see how it wants to develop. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Okay, so there are a couple of visioning pieces that I wanted to mention today. The first is, what do you do if a client is resistant to visioning? And when I say resistant to visioning, what I mean is like, they're like, but I don't, you ask them the different visioning questions, and like, I don't know, I just can't see anything, or I'm not sure. Or it's just nothing is coming to me. Like I don't know what I want, right? Because that's a thing for sure. And sometimes if you just keep on asking questions, the resistance just gets stronger and stronger because it's almost like this, like, and I can't answer that question, and I can't answer that question, right? It kind of like will build on itself. And so here are some things to think about. If you go to vision with a client and there's resistance, number one, remember energetics are always everything, like foundation, right? So if your client is having resistance to visioning and you start freaking out and thinking there's something wrong because your client isn't able to write, that's not gonna, and then you try to ask smarter questions or whatever happens, that you want to do that. Aligned energetics in this case is for you as the practitioner to know that it's normal, right? That sometimes the vision isn't gonna come right away. It's totally normal for a human being, even if they want to create a vision, to need some extra help or support or like to move through a block in order to be able to see the vision. So energetics, and then you want to normalize it, right? First and foremost, normalize it for your client. The more that they understand that there's nothing wrong with them because they're having some trouble, that it's a complete part of normal human experience, that they know that you as the practitioner are seeing them as whole and complete, that you have that patience to know that it will come in the right time. The more their shame can kind of go down around it, they can re and just that alone, sometimes just the normalization alone is enough for things to start flowing. If it's not, after you normalize, then the next thing is to explore what might be in the way, what might be blocking your client's ability to vision. So we'll look in the second part of this program at lots of different ways to work with blocks. But just for right now, you know, say like sometimes a question of, well, what do you sense is in your way of being able to vision this? Or, you know, if there were a fear, like about the vision, even if you don't know what the vision is yet, you know, what do you think the fear is, or what are you scared of? What would be at risk for you if you were to be able to vision your business,
etc.?
So starting to explore what block is in the way. And when we get to the befriend your fear process and all that, you could do a befriend your fear process there as well. Another tool that is helpful if someone is having resistance to, or, you know, just like not able to vision, back to what we were talking about last week, visions are products of the heart, not products of the mind. And so sometimes moving the conversation out of the cognitive or mental level of learning and processing into another level is what can open up the flow. So a visualization, for example, and you'll have a demo of how to do visioning through visualization in your member center. Amy didn't call it a vision board, but creating something like Amy created, or creating a vision board, right? Asking a client to spend some time and just cutting, even they, for them not to think about it, but just what is it, go through a couple magazines, what is calling to your heart, what images, what words, etc. Ask them to collage it, and then in the next session, kind of break it down, look at the different aspects and pieces, relate it to vision. Calling on the spirit level of learning and processing. And again, you don't have to use the word spirit to activate that level, right? But what is it that your higher wisdom really desires? What is it that you would, you know, if you know that that person is like really devoted to their kids, what is it that you would want, whatever, Franny and Zoe to be able to see in you, in your business, right? So asking questions that are bigger than their ego. Let me pause there. Any thoughts or anything that sparked or wants to be asked about when a client is resistant to visioning? Barbara.
I had a great session with Ayana last week in doing visioning. And one of the things that we did is we moved. I found some music on Pandora and we just started dancing to it and just kind of really got into what our body was telling us through that process. You know, that I got into it. You know, and because I can really just quickly go right into my head and just kind of like, oh, where's this going? Oh, and what's that energetic, you know, like to like kind of pull that out so I can identify my own energetics. So it was a lot of fun and it was very helpful.
I love it. I'm so glad you're bringing this into the conversation. Brilliant. You activated the body level of learning and processing. And in the process of activating the body level, what I'm hearing is you also broke pattern on the cognitive that allowed you to like not be so stuck and rigid up there and kind of just get all the parts flowing. Brilliant. Yes. I love that you did that. Annalise.
Hey, Joanna. Just from a logistic perspective, should we spend the first, you know, session at the beginning of the program just focusing on a kind of detailed vision, or, and then from there, develop the steps in the next few sessions, or visioning being a small part of the session and then going into the goal. And so basically the topic, the goal, the possibilities, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So yes, you were getting to where I was going to go next. So I'm glad that you're bringing it in. First sessions. So first of all, sometimes, yes, I like to spend the first session visioning, and I'm going to get into some details on that in a moment. But like the caveat there is sometimes a client will come into a first session and first they need to like, you know, work on like this meeting just happened and I'm really irritated or, you know, whatever. So I always coach the what based on the who. If there's an immediate thing in the first session, either it might need a full session or I'll take, you know, I'll spend 10, 15 minutes on whatever the need is. But then I do like to spend time in the beginning really mapping out the bigger vision, or as much of the bigger vision that is ready to emerge in that moment, right? Like, as I said last week, I can't see 5 years out. I can't see 3 years, you know, even great example, like I thought I was going to do something this summer, like that didn't happen, right? So
I hear you.
So, but spending time on that first session with the vision is super helpful. And I have a little bit of an outline. This is in one of your resource sheets, but I'll lay it out right now. This is kind of what I like to do in a first session with the vision. Spend most of the time visioning, really laying out the vision, getting clarity on that bigger place where they're going. And then once we have that, I'll ask a question, and the question is, what is a belief that you know you're holding right now that could possibly get in the way of you executing this vision, right? So we're just like going straight from there to the like, what could possibly get in the way? So I ask them to define a belief. And then from there, you know, we'll explore it a little bit. I'll help them to define a new belief, one that can be supportive of the vision, one that they want to start leaning into, one, you know, even if they don't believe this belief yet, one that they really want to move towards that is essential to them moving forward with the vision. And then the last piece in the process is I'll say, okay, now based on this new belief, what are three, what it doesn't have to be three, what are 1 to 3 foundational activities for our time together? What are 1 to 3 foundational activities for our time together? And what that question is about is not like, okay, what's this thing that I'm going to do to move towards my vision, or that thing that I'm going to move towards my vision? But by foundational activity, I mean, like, based on the new belief, maybe somebody will say, you know, I'm going to meditate every day, or I know that once and for all, you know, foundational activities, I'm going to cut gluten out because I'm like in my best self and in my best mind when I don't have gluten, or I'm going to regularly end work at 5 o'clock every day. So whatever that new belief is, what are 1 to 3 foundational activities that if you really believed this new belief, you would be doing no matter what, right? And that's kind of whatever strategies we figure out based on the visions, the goals, whatever, those will come, but we kind of have this baseline of practice that is really supportive for the client. Usually not on that session, because at that point we're out of time. And also to AJ's point, like, you know, sitting with things. So usually not on that session, every now and again, but usually then on the next session, we'll look at, okay, so now there's this bigger goal, bigger vision. So what's the next goal here that's gonna, right? And we'll define the goal and then start strategizing towards the goal. Brenda, I know your hand is up from before. I'm going to swing back around to you in 1 second. Anyone want to say anything or have any questions on what I just outlined? You do not have to do a first session this way, but I just wanted to offer that as something to think about for first sessions. Okay, good. I'm glad that's helpful. Amy, yeah.
I just wanted to see, are we going to have a time during Sacred Depths where there is that more practical, like how to have an onboarding call, or I'm sure that you're going to share those kinds of resources, like sales call and all those things.
So in the sales call training, I don't have to, I don't think I have a recording of an actual sales call, but in the 5-hour training, and there's handouts with it. I go step by step on exactly what to do. I mean, what to say so much as coach the what based on the who and use all of your listening and questioning and creating awareness skills, but I go step by step on
okay,
that.
Great.
Yeah. Angela, that what I just outlined is on one of the handouts. I think it's a handout for this week. And Brenda's asking, are the visioning questions on a handout? On the questioning, so there's visioning questions in lots of different places in the questioning module handouts, and then in this module as well. Michaelyn.
Hi. I'm thinking I was going to post this on the Facebook page because I thought it might be a place to get a fuller answer from you. So I'm not sure what, but it just feels important for me to say it now. Like I have a process that I've done because I'm an EFT practitioner of like a consult, right? A free consult, like 15, 20 minutes. And then I do, if they sign up for a package, then there's a discovery call that's part of that. And the discovery call can be 30 to 45 minutes, you know, usually. And that's where we actually get really specific and set the goal. And then listening to the 5-hour training, it's like totally throwing everything into the blender for me.
Sorry.
And, you know, and it's a good exercise, like to bring like new awarenesses to that process. What serves the client? Like, is it really realistic for them in a 15 or 20 minute consult to pay thousands of dollars for a package of sessions and then meet and set the goal? And I'm just feeling into it from what you've taught in the 5-hour training and feeling like it's not really in the client's best interest to do it the way I've been doing it. I'm just throwing that out there to see if you have any thoughts.
Well, you know, I'd say like there's never a truth with a capital T, just right, what you're seeing. So if it has been working for the client and for you to do the 15-minute consult and then they come in and you, I forget what you called the first session.
Discovery session.
The what in here?
Discovery.
Yeah. And then you do the, like if that's been working and folks are well served and also that converts well for people that you sense are ideal. If it's not broken, don't fix it, right? Like that's great. But if you sense either that you could be converting better on people that are ideal, but they're just not like feeling compelled enough, that would be a reason to experiment with this. Or if you're feeling like clients are signing up, but then like they're like, oh, I thought I was going to be able to do more in our work to get, you know, based on that first session, then you might want to mix it up that way. But if those two things are working well, I say continue to go with what you're doing.
I think it's a mix.
Yeah.
Some people are really ready. They're like, they're already familiar with tapping. Like they know, have a sense of what I can do. And they're already a yes before they even get on the call. But it's for those others that don't have the familiarity with it. Yeah. I think your method could serve them much better. And it does take more from me, like more time, but it just feels so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, you know, just like always coach the what based on the who, always prospect the what based on the who as well, right? So if someone's coming in and they already are sold on EFT and it's just kind of like tipping them over, 15, 20 minutes. Don't go too deep into the vision, bridge, etc. If they need some more, give them some more.
The last thing I'll say about it, I appreciate this time to do this, is part of the reason that we do it this way, you know, we and my cohort in EFT, is so that we can, if in the container of like a package of sessions, we can screen out for the client who's not appropriate, the client who has, you know, diagnoses or, you know, mental health issues that wouldn't be appropriate. So that's what I'm not seeing addressed.
Right. That's why I am usually an advocate for a longer conversation up front. I've seen it happen a number of times where it's just like a 5-minute thing and someone becomes a client, but the practitioner hasn't really, they've made the sale, but they haven't asked enough questions to really see, is this client a good fit for me and my scope? Can I really help them? Is this the right moment for this client to be doing this work? So that's why, especially with privates, when I'm taking on a private client for 6 months, for a year, I want to do that up front. And then when I do that up front, if the person is right, they're even more like running to say yes, because through that conversation, it's become so apparent that it's a good fit for them and they're going to get what they need here.
Yeah. I'll stay in the blender a little longer. Thank you. It feels good though.
Yeah. Good question. Okay. Okay, last little piece that I just want to kind of put in there around visioning, because this question comes up sometimes too, is what if a client has a lot of different ideas? I've certainly been there too. It's like, oh, I have this vision and I have that vision, right? Like it's like 5 different things. You know, and it's human behavior sometimes to not pick one thing because you've got 5 things, because then there's like the fear of not having it all, right? And following all of the visions. And so in that case, some of the work that you want to do is lean in more to, well, a couple of things. Number one, like what are the clients, as we looked at last week, values and priorities, right? What are their highest values and priorities? And then which of the visions fit in there? Sometimes that will do it. Sometimes it's about creating awareness that maybe all of these things can happen, but they need to happen one at a time, right? And then having that conversation about values, priorities. And sometimes, and we'll do a whole module on time, sometimes that creating awareness is also just about helping the client see that there's only 24 hours in a day and that it isn't going to serve them to go forward with 3 different, you know, sometimes I'll have a client come and they want to do a book, they want to build a business, do a book, and like, I don't know, something else. I'll do their one woman show, like all in the next year, right? And it's like, that would be great if, you know, a day was 100 hours, but it's not. So sometimes we even just need to create awareness around that as well. Okay, so for the rest of our time today, I want to look at the energetics of new things. So how do I want to start this? Okay, when you think about the cycle of the year, as you know I always do, and the 4 different seasons, And when we think about spring is when new flowers are blooming, new babies are being born. That's like the metaphorical new project time. Usually a vision is on a new project. The energy of spring, where the birth is happening, the new thing is coming through, is different than the energy of summer, where the persistent and consistent growth is happening. I'm gonna say that again. The energy of spring, where it's almost like you need a burst of like new inspiration, you need a burst of action, right? Like for if you've birthed a baby or been around birthing a baby, like you need that Pitocin, right? To like get the baby through. That's a different energy than the day in, day out, feeding the baby and changing their diaper and teaching them the lessons. When we or our clients have visioned and then want to start executing a new project or an old project that they've put a new vision on, right? And when I say new project, I mean new relationship, you know, new program, new house, right? Anything can fall under that. After we've supported the vision, we want to support the client to feel that spring energy. We want to treat a new project differently than the energy that's required once that new project has kind of been launched or the first actions have been taken. We want to support that client to feel that, I mean, we want to feel excited throughout, but that like excitement of the, like the new, that burst of energy coming through. The more that we can support our clients to feel that burst of energy, that spring-like energy, the more likely they'll be to start to take those first steps. Because as we'll see in a few minutes, there's a lot of things that can stand in the way. Even though the client has visioned it, there's a lot of things that can stand in the way of that excitement for the vision. So all this being said, let me ask you, take a moment and journal on this. What's your relationship to new projects? How do you approach new projects? How do you usually feel about new projects? Inspect that for yourself. I'll put this in the chat. What's your relationship to new projects? How do you approach new projects? How do you usually feel about new projects? Angela's saying, I approach with a plan, but I'm excited about it too. Annalise is saying, I get all excited, but then at times there are just one too many and the excitement can be dangerous. Yeah. AJ says, you go from spring to winter. Yeah. You're not the only one. Michaelin realized the way she was describing it was like falling in love, beautiful. Yeah, and you know, this is great for you, and also just to like to have that insight for our clients too, right? Kelly says, I'm extremely excitable and like I'm bursting with color and ideas and blooms. Beautiful image. Issa's saying, I love coming up with new ideas and create a plan for them, but when it's time to do the work, I lose the excitement and the energy. Yep, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about all of these pieces. Barbara loves the energy of the idea, but has a hard time actually giving birth. Yep. Nella's saying fear of committing, resistance. Yep. Amy's saying I have big initiating energy and then I have more trouble with carry through and often need others' support after. And that's great. By the way, that's great self-knowledge. And you can put that into place, right? Kendra's saying I'm a very much a quick start. I get excited, which then leads to overwhelm of needing to do all the things. Yep. And then your saboteur shows up. Yep. Ayana's saying, sometimes I get very excited about new projects, but then there's overwhelm, disappointment. Yep. So we're going to talk about all of these things. So as we're seeing just in these shares in the chat, there's a lot that can get in the way of that feeling of excitement and then being able to hold on to that in order to take those next steps to start to get a new project off the ground. And so as practitioners, we want to be aware that this is a thing for our clients. We can have a great visioning session and we can like feel like they're all in, but then sometimes before they even get started, it's like it's a no-go, right? So I want to look today at some of the things that can really get in the way of sustaining that initial, like that springtime excitement. We're going to get also, as you know, later on into befriending. You know, sometimes you're going to want to befriend a fear, work a negative thought pattern. Today, I want to get to the kind of the foundational, what are the biggest fears and negative thought patterns that show up for human beings when they're about to start something new, so that you have that kind of human wisdom and insight into it. All right, so the first kind of belief or fear that can get in the way of starting something new is, well, I don't know it all yet. I don't know the whole thing yet. I don't know the whole vision yet, or I don't really know how to do it yet. And so I can't start it. Right? Unless I know exactly all the steps to creating a website and what the website is going to be about and all the things. And I'm like, I can't start that website right now. You know, a client might not be saying those exact words, but that might be something that's rolling around inside of them. I can't, you know, put myself on a dating app because I don't know what I'm going to answer to the questions and I don't know who's out there and I'm not exactly sure what, you know, like, right? Like all the things. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about here, if you've seen this in others. Yeah, it's a biggie. So we want to be aware of this and we want to keep some wisdom in mind that will really help us hold and create awareness for our clients with all of this. And the wisdom is that when we look to nature, there's a couple of pieces here, but one is when we look to nature, visioning, initiation, and planting start in the dark. And what I mean by that is that visioning, initiation, planting, it doesn't start in the full spring when it's like there's light, where we can see everything. We actually, the earth starts to prepare itself for the new cycle in the second half of the winter, after it's had time to rest the first 6 weeks. Again, back to that quickening, that happens in the winter, that happens February 1st. Babies are created, not in the like full clarity, right? In the womb, where it's dark. Even early spring is still wintry. It was only half light, half dark in early spring, right? We're not at that full clarity yet of summer solstice. The beginning of every day, dawn, that's not high noon where the sun is fully shining, right? There is that, like, and that's what helps that little bit of mystery to be able to vision and initiate. In other words, we almost always start in the mystery. I had no idea what marriage was like when I took the steps to get married. Maybe if I knew, or I knew what it's like to raise a baby, I like would never have done any of those things. Build a business, right? Whenever we start, we almost always begin in the mystery. And the mystery can be scary because we can't totally see. We don't completely, or even maybe partially, know how yet, which was the case for me with kids, right? We don't, right? So we may not trust that it's gonna work because we can't see. So sometimes we want to create that awareness for our clients, that initiation and planting in all of nature starts in the mystery. It doesn't start in the full clarity. It's kind of not how life works. Dreaming happens in the dark, right? We dream at night. So oftentimes when humans get scared of not knowing, this is important to know for yourself, and you might see this in your clients. Oftentimes when humans get scared of not fully knowing, they will get laser focused in on the how. But I can't start this unless I know steps 1 to 50 on the how of this website, right? But that's just almost like a survival mechanism to avoid being in the discomfort of not fully knowing all the steps, not knowing exactly how it's going to go as they start the steps. And so we want to, as practitioners, we want to be able to kind of see when this is happening for a client. We want to be able to create awareness on this. We might want to do a little consulting on, you know, everything starts in the mystery, in the dark, you know, normalizing of that. And then from there, we can also ask them some questions that give them some more anchors that make it like kind of more okay that they don't know everything yet. So we can ask, for example, what is it that you do know, right? So you may not know everything about moving to a new town, but what are the things that you do know about it? Or we can ask, when was a time in the past when you moved forward, even though you didn't have the full picture, even if you didn't fully know how? Or we could ask a question like, why is it possibly a gift that you don't know it all yet? How can you use that? How can you leverage that? How can you use that? All right, let me pause here. Anyone want to share what's sparking for you around this, what you're seeing? What feels important here? Kendra.
Hi. So I'm loving this because number one, of course, I see this in myself often. I do see it in clients as well. But what's coming up for me too is like I'm looking at the big picture of things and being aware that these are some of the ways, this is how we get in our way from starting new things. But then being mindful, how do I say this? I feel like in some ways, if we're not careful, we can contribute to the limiting belief that a lot of us have that we don't know enough or that we're not capable enough. I don't know how to quite articulate this, but it's like it can almost get perpetuated that if we don't normalize the fact that, okay, yeah, everything starts in the mystery, everything starts in the dark, it can be very easy for, I mean, myself and for others included, to kind of fall in that loop of believing that, oh, well, because I don't know all the answers, then I must not be good enough, or I'm too new at this, so I must not be able to do X, Y, Z. And I see that sometimes play out in the industry where it's like, yeah, don't fall in that trap. You know enough for right now to move forward.
Yes, 100%. And that's why it's like so exactly what you're saying. Like it's so important to normalize it. And oftentimes when I'm normalizing, I just use myself, you know, I'll just be like, half the time when I start a new thing, I don't know anything, you know, like I maybe know the very next step, right? Or when I started my business, and so yes, that normalizing piece is huge. And it helps start to like poke at the myth of perfection too. Yeah, good, thank you. Kelly.
I am loving this so, so much. And I think what I want to reflect is the piece that keeps coming to me is having worked with people in deep healing journeys for so long, this place of being in the darkness where many people, when they are like ready to finally make a change, they are often in a pretty dark place. And I have been there as well. And so that place of, and I use nature analogies all the time, but this one is like, literally, I've been feeling choked up the whole time you're talking, because it's just touching into that place of magic of like, oh yes, you're in the darkness now. And then this is where things begin, right? And that's, I'm just reflecting on so many people I worked with in my own journey of like how much got birthed from the darkness. So I'm really, really loving it. And I'm also aware that sometimes when people are in so much darkness that, and I don't mean just depression, darkness, like any kind of darkness, right? Just like not being able to see through or not being able to see wellness for themselves. That sometimes it's hard from that place to even find like a sprout of, you know, of hope or vision or what have you. And so that's the place of curiosity right now, is like, it's that deep honoring of that place, but then where do we go from there?
Absolutely. And that lines up with something we were looking at last week, which is that not every moment is a moment for visioning, right? Again, because I'm like such a nerd with the wheel of the year, I really think of like there's two phases of winter. There's the phase from solstice to Imolc, and then February 1st, and then from February 1st to spring equinox. And those first 6 weeks, those are about rest, rejuvenation, letting go, you know, being in the darkest of the cave. Yeah, on New Year's or solstice, like we have little sparks of ideas and visions, but we're not supposed to pursue any of them or even develop any of them. It's that second part of winter where the light is starting to come back, where we can say, okay, that idea, not so much. This one wants to, you know, I can see more here. So yeah, we want to kind of be aware, is my client in a place where they still need to grieve, have, you know, where they still need to let go, where they just need rest and space? Or are they kind of starting to move into that visioning place?
Can I ask a really specific follow-up question to that? Because that's really helpful. So in terms of even structure, like I know you said, is a client ready to work when you're doing your enrollment conversations? And I'm thinking about how many people I have started with that are in like really hard places. And for me, so often it's kind of holding the vision with and for them of healed. Like in my training, we talk about holding the healed face and like seeing that for them. And but it's making me wonder, like, maybe it isn't the moment for vision. Like I always begin with visioning, but actually that's a really hard thing to do. So maybe it really is. Yeah. So
sometimes I'll spend the first month or two, or sometimes a little bit longer with a client. Like it's actually just all about holding space for them to rest or mm-hmm. to grieve, or helping them just let go of the things in their life that are not working for them or draining them before we even get to what the new thing is, right? Every person is different, yeah. But depending on when a client comes to you, sometimes that is the first phase, is more of the, what needs to be released or what just needs to be sat in before getting to the vision.
I love that. It's much more wheel-like than linear. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. So that's one possible thing that can get in the way of that excitement for a new project, is I don't know it all yet, so I can't do it. Here's another one that can sometimes get in the way. You might know this one for yourself too. It hasn't worked before, so it's not going to work now. I tried to lose weight before and it didn't work, so I'm not going to be able to do it now. I've tried to find an aligned romantic relationship in the past and it's always failed. So it's like, yeah, we just visioned this thing, but it's going to fail now. I did a preview workshop for my business 2 months ago and no one became a client from it. So it's not going to work this time either. Raise your hand if you have ever stepped into that one before. Seeing a lot of hands raised. All right, so for this one, first of all, sometimes we need to just create awareness for a client that they've stepped into it. They may not even realize it. Like they might just be judgmental about the vision or that, right? Like kind of in their resistance, when really what's going on for them is this belief of it didn't work before, so it might not work now. So sometimes where we want to start with this is just to create awareness that that's the kind of underlying belief for that client. And then from there, we want to be able to hold space for our client to see how this time it can be different than last time, and to see the potential in that. So some things that can help with that, some questions. Well, okay, so even before we get to the questions, you know, normalizing, right? So we want to just also normalize the experience, right? It's normal for things to not work the first time. It's totally normal to do a preview workshop for the first time, or even the second time, or and not have clients come from it. It's normal to date 5 duds, you know, in a row. I did, and right, like whatever it is. So sometimes we just also want to normalize that experience. And then here's some questions we can ask. What learnings about this do you have now that you didn't have before? What do you know about dating now that you didn't know before? What do you know about preview workshops that you didn't know before? Or here's another question that's similar but a little different that can be really helpful. What resources, inner or outer, do you have now that will help you with this? What are the resources that you have now versus 2 years ago when you tried that can help you with this? Or another way of asking that question can be, how are you different than the last time you worked towards this? Why is now the divine moment for this to come to fruition? Why is now a great moment for this? Or a question like, what do you need in order to be more successful this time? Or what do you need from me, practitioner, to help you be more successful this time? Another strategy that can help a client who's in the, like, it didn't work before, so why should it work now, is to reconnect your client back to their deep why, W-H-Y, on the goal. What is their deeper reason, that desire, that heart's desire? Oftentimes the heart's desire can transcend the it didn't happen before. And of course, as I keep on saying, once we get through the entire program, you'll be able to do a befriend your fear process, or you'll have also different kind of processes in your toolbox. But sometimes just with these simple questions, creating awareness, normalizing, we can get through a lot of it. All right, let me pause on this one for a moment. Anything that wants to be said here, it hasn't worked before, so it's not going to work this time. Okay. All right. I just lost my notes. Okay. Marianne's saying, what about asking if they're open to it working this time? Absolutely. Yeah. And then Marianne, what's a follow-up question? Like if they say yes, then what's a good follow-up question to ask from there? I'll give you a moment to type that in. Michael in saying they also may just need time to grieve the loss. Absolutely, you may want to work with that first. Marianne saying, what would need to be true for it to work this time? Great question, yes. Good. All right. Third thing that can possibly get in the way of that. I'm so excited for this new project. I'm in spring excitement feeling. The expectation of quick moving results, and that like everything is going to be shiny and easy with no bumps in the road. So what can oftentimes happen for humans, maybe you know this one for yourself, is like you're all excited about a new thing, you've got the vision, you figured out the next goal, and then you go to start to take action towards the goal, and the first action just did not work out. Like that first date was a dud, or that prospect conversation just sucked, or nobody showed up for the prospect conversation, and you're like, oh, I tried, right? You were expecting quick moving, totally shiny, no bumps in the road kind of process. And because you hit a bump in the road, all of a sudden there's like no more energy to move forward. It's like, nah, this isn't good. Raise your hand if you know that one or have seen that one in others. Yeah. So it's important as practitioners for us to know that this is a human experience as well. And for me, the way that I work with this as a practitioner is, while being as enthusiastic as I can and without like being a downer, I am also realistic with my clients about what it takes to achieve a particular goal or vision that they're visioning, while always saying to them, now these are my filters, right? And being open for miracles and possibility. But I might say to someone before they do their first presentation, like, this is gonna be amazing. You're gonna learn so much from this experience. This is about you learning how to own your expertise, being willing to be visible in front of others. And I really see that people are gonna love this and be excited about this. And I'm holding out that you're gonna get a lot of inquiries because I know that's totally possible. And also know that sometimes the first time is just about doing it and having, you know, breaking the seal and getting it done. And it's sometimes not until the second time that you see the results, right? So like, I don't want to be a bummer. I don't want to put my, like all my filters onto it, but I do, especially if I see a client that's like, I can tell they're just expecting it's going to be right away. I don't want to deflate them. I want them to stay excited, but I want to like just subtly bring into the container that like it's all okay and it's still going to happen even if you hit a bump in the road. Especially when it comes to business in general. As we know, I mentioned this last week, a lot of people have unrealistic expectations because of marketing in the industry. Lose weight in a week, 7 figures in 3 months, I don't know, right? Like all of those things out there. So we wanna absolutely. I think the excitement gets created when our client can like know that this is about an ongoing journey. And that's what helps them build the resilience that's needed to really reach those bigger goals. Helping clients not compare themselves to what they see on social media is a biggie with this too. You know, like it's so easy. Like you take one next step and it doesn't work. And then you like, you doom scroll, what is it called? Like doom scrolling on Instagram or whatever it is. And it looks like everybody else is just getting it in a second, right? So supporting our clients to not compare, to build that inner resilience that it takes really to accomplish most bigger goals. So important. Couple other pieces for today. I already kind of mentioned this, but I'll mention it again in a little bit of a different way. Sometimes in order to start something new, we have to first let something go. It's really hard to get into a new romantic relationship if we haven't fully let go, or at least somewhat let go of the old one, right? If we're still clinging on. It's really hard to call in a new type of ideal client if we're still also clinging on to calling in the old type of ideal client. So sometimes there's some work that wants to be done there. And then the last piece I'll put out for now is sometimes to get to that excited place, because, like, I don't know, as an adult, adulting, it can be really easy to feel jaded and like not that springtime energy. Sometimes you can work with your client's elevated inner child and support them to embody this kind of like aligned inner child or elevated inner child of openness, excitement, curiosity. You know, we spoke about curiosity walks. I forget in which one of our calls, right? Like that's like the maiden or the young one, just like looking and being excited about things. The elevated inner child isn't attached to outcome. They're willing to laugh at their own mistakes and still continue on. They're looking for fun in the process. So supporting a client to connect in with some of that inside of themselves, to have their elevated inner child write them a letter, sharing that energy, to have them see the vision through the eyes of that. I keep on saying elevated inner child because I know a lot of us also have wounded inner children, right? So Angela, that elevated is like the one that is, because so sometimes our that inner child that is curious, that is open, that is excited can get buried under history. So like to connect the client with the one that's still open and curious and can laugh and wants to spin and that kind of thing. All right. So your partner homework for this week is to continue with your visioning sessions. And we've got a couple minutes left. I'd love to hear what you're taking away from our time together today. Kendra.
Yeah, I have a really quick question. Is it okay to ask a question? Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you, one of the things that I found that I struggle with the most, like when you were talking about you know, setting realistic expectations. So I sometimes internally struggle when it comes to marketing, for example, when we are taught that we need to, like, you know, market the outcome. And of course, a lot of people, I work with entrepreneurs, and a lot of us, I mean, clearly we want to make more money. We want more clients. We want all those material things. But deep down inside, I know that it's not like, I can't in good heart be like, yeah, we're going to get the, you know, get you the 10K months when work by working with me for a year, because I don't know where each individual is going to, where I'm going to meet them at.
Yeah.
And so I feel conflicted in my energy at times and then get irritated when I do see marketing that's like, you know, join my 6-week program to see how I, you know, generated 10K months. And I'm like, that's so not realistic. So how do you balance that with good marketing?
Yeah, it's such a great question. So I'll answer quickly, but the longer answer, I think I gave all of you as a bonus the recordings of the Sacred Power program, which is all about being in integrity If not, I'll make sure you get it. Call 3 in that program. I go through marketing step by step, like how to be to market in integrity with all the pieces you're talking about. But for now, I'll share a couple of things. Number one, using language like here's what's possible versus like here's what's definite. Number two, reflecting truths, reflecting hard truths in your marketing. So we learned all about reflecting hard truths here, right? So, you know, I say in my marketing, this and this and this are possible, but here's usually what's required to get there. And I'm clear on like, this is the work that we need to do. These are the pieces that you're gonna wanna look at, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That can also help the right person step in because they're like, oh yeah, like she's speaking the truth. Like I need to do that, you know? And then from there in enrollment conversations, number one, being really honest about what you see as possible for an individual, you know, in the 6 months you'll work together or the year based on what you see their gap in vision is from that conversation. Being honest about what you really think is important for them to work on in order to get there. And then in your, like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, I'll call it side marketing, like social media posts, newsletter articles, et cetera, speaking to how, what it took for you to get to 10K months, you know, what that, like, to normalize that it is a process, you know, and again, like, I think I've shared this before, I often say to prospects, in a sales conversation, if you're looking for the coach that's going to launch you to the moon and back in a day, I'm not that person. That's not how we roll here. If you're looking for a sustainable business that you build over time, then you're in the right place.
Okay. Yeah. So good. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Annalise.
Joanna, I was really drawn to what you said about letting go of the old in order to make space for the new. Now, this sometimes can admittedly be a really tedious process. Like if you are, let's say, in a 20 years relationship and it's not working and, you know, before you get rid of that, it may take years.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, that's why I said full or not fully letting go. Like sometimes you can start the relationship. I mean, there has to be some part of the old relationship that you've let go in order to open up the space mm-hmm. for the new one. And then mm-hmm. maybe you haven't, like, it's not this full and you're continuing to work on it, right? As you, but does that spark anything for you? So, you know, it might not be that, again, every little last piece is released of the old. So often, as an example, oftentimes what I say when someone's thinking of switching niches or like how they're working, I'm a very risk averse person in general. And anytime that I've ever switched a niche or a focus, for me, it hasn't been about completely letting go of the one in order to start the other. It's like I'm holding on to the old, but I'm starting to market to the new. And then as each old falls off, I take a new. Like sometimes we need the bridge from the old to the new too. So always coach the what based on the who, and see what the need is. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we understand now it's we could talk for a long time, but yeah, it is for the purpose of where we are. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, I know we're past time, of course. If you have to hop off, please hop off, but I'm going to take Cecil's question.
Yeah, Thank you. So what I'm sitting with now is that sensation as a baby coach, as other people have voiced it, how to make people go through these processes when all of it is alive in yourself.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm sort of voicing this to release a bit of this sort of,
yeah,
I don't know, anxiety around it. And maybe also if there is a tip or something from some of the more experienced coaches, that would also be nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing it up. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Take a moment and tap into your inner wisdom, your higher wisdom. What does your higher wisdom know about this?
That it has anchor.
Talk more about that.
It's a physical sensation of the center line. And I'm sensing a separation between my confusion around starting a business and their problem. Or how you say, their thing.
So tell me if I'm getting this right. What I think I'm hearing is that your higher wisdom is telling you it's possible for when you're working with a client, like you can have your confusion when, you know, and all of that, but when you're working with your client that you can anchor, you can kind of find that anchor that you just described, and that doesn't have to impact the container with the client. There can be that separation that you just mentioned.
Yeah, I don't have to take the fact that I can be confused about certain things doesn't have to mean that I can't be an anchor in my presence and within the container with the client.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, so that's an energetic place to continue to lean into.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. And I'll also just share for you and for everyone else, I really believe that one of the reasons why I've been able to support my clients is because I can relate to them so deeply. I understand, so, you know, like I understand the experience. And so exactly what you're saying, I can check the filter enough to not bring the confused energy in. But I also have the privilege of understanding how the client feels, and that can support me in guiding them as well. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for today. I can't wait to see how all of this evolves, and I'll see you very soon. Have a great rest of your day.